Hey, welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to crack the geode that is media buying.
What's a geode?
You don't know what a geode is?
What?
They're these beautiful, or they're like round ball rocks, and you crack them open, and then there's like beautiful crystals inside.
Like, where are these geodes?
Actually, you can find some out in Utah's West Desert.
Really?
Went out there this last weekend, and
I was gonna say, did a little digging,
found a whole bunch of them.
That's awesome.
It's so cool.
That's cool. You bring one in. Let's
little
take
local
a look.
Tourism plug there. There's no towns out there.
That's awesome.
But it's very cool.
Nice. You guys explore a lot of Utah, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice.
Sure. So we didn't introduce ourselves. I am Josh Shear, and you are?
Sasha Jackson.
Oh, that's your name.
Yeah, you forgot.
I forgot for a second.
Of course. Why am I not surprised, Josh?
I know. I'm the worst. So today, you know, when we were planning this episode, we were kind of thinking, like, what do we need when we're creating an ad campaign or doing an ad buy? So one of the things that comes to my mind when I'm trying to plan a campaign is who we're targeting and who's actually like going to see these ads or who we want to see these ads, right? And I think one of the biggest pet peeves I have, and maybe you too, Sasha, I don't know, is when we're told to like, hey, go run these ads. And then we're like, but for who?
Where?
How? And where? How? Who are we talking to?
Yes, I totally second that. And, you know, I understand everyone's need to want to hit everyone.
That is the ideal.
Yeah, I understand that. And you know what? In due time, you might. But if you hit everyone, you're just casting a huge net out there, but you might not have the strength to pull it in. But if you cast a smaller net right where you need it to be, you'll pull it in. It's a nice analogy, huh?
What are you pulling in?
Your target audience.
Okay, they're the fish.
Yes.
They're just the making fish. Sure I was tracking the analogy.
No, it's just when you want to hit everyone, unless you have unlimited funds, you can't do it well. You just can't do it well. As targeted as you can be, the more targeted you can be, I should say, the better return you'll see.
Yes.
Blanket statement, but I stand by that 100%.
No, I surprisingly agree with you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. We call those targets personas.
Yep.
And we call the process of matching a persona to an ad tactic or channel. What do we call that, Sasha?
Persona mapping.
Good job. A+.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I studied.
So proud. Gold star.
Thank you. I'll take it.
We're going to get a board to keep track of Sasha's gold stars.
Yes.
That's not condescending at all. Sorry. I'm not apologizing. We fight on this podcast. Okay. So, yeah, ideally, we could target everyone, or we would target everyone. Everybody, we want everyone to come to our destinations, right? But it just is not realistic.
Not realistic. Totally.
So how do we... So basically what you're saying is we got to narrow it down.
We've got to narrow it down. Yep. You got to be smart about where those dollars are going.
Just go after a few fish instead of all the fish.
Yes. And you just don't want to water down your media plans. I'm sticking with the water fish stuff throughout.
I like it.
But
like
if
it.
You just don't want to be spread too thin. You really don't. And I see that a lot. And I think that's one of my pet peeves is it's like, oh, hey, let's do TV, radio, online news, magazine. Let's do it all. But I have $1,000. And you're like, wait. Let's back up. you've got to get a certain amount of frequency when it comes to traditional media. And you can't. And that was obviously a huge exaggeration. But you just can't be spread too thin and water it down so much to where you're not hitting that person enough for them to recognize who you are, what you offer, and want to take action on that. And that takes a few times, especially when we're talking about tourism, since it's a longer funnel for someone to take action. Like, I mean, it's a big, you're asking them to take a trip and spend a lot of money. And so we've got to do that, right? We've got to talk to them enough so that they're making that decision, right?
Wow. You're pretty passionate about this.
I am.
This is cool.
I meant that it's a pet peeve.
Couldn't tell. Very yeah, cool. Okay, cool. So we've got to narrow it down now. In my mind, one of the things you've got to do in planning your media buys and narrowing in on who these personas are, you've got to ask questions. Like, if you don't ask questions, if you don't understand who these people are, you're going to fail. You're setting yourself up for failure.
Yep.
So there's some things that I'm always asking destinations when we're trying to build a media plan and trying to identify our personas. I'm always asking things like, who are your visitors? You know, why are the visitors coming to your destination? Who do you want to come? Who's your ideal visitor? Because I think some destinations do have an idea of who their clientele should be.
Yeah.
Who spends the most money? It sounds greedy, but that's kind of important. You might get a lot of one type of person who comes, but they only spend a quarter what another audience does. So maybe it makes sense to target the other audience, even though you get more of the individuals.
Yeah, you bet.
Yeah.
Another interesting question to add on to who's coming. How many times are they coming? Do you have repeat? Who are your repeat customers? Who are your loyal audience base?
Such a good point. Yeah. I don't think we do a lot of retention marketing.
Mm-mm.
And identifying who is coming back and who's likely to come back is... Mm-hmm.
There's room to explore that. I think that's interesting.
I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
There's another gold star. Gold star for Sasha.
You're being so nice today. What's the catch, Josh?
So how do you identify the answers to those questions? I'm going to first just say, don't rely on your gut. You've got to rely on like real data and information. I won't name the destination, but I will say there was a destination who I was on a call with multiple stakeholders, and they all had anecdotal evidence about, oh, well, I see a whole bunch of these people coming to my hotel, and they seem to be more so than others. But then we dove into the credit card spending data, and yeah, those people were there, but they were not in like the top five of who mm-hmm. was actually coming and who was actually spending money.
Yeah.
And so it's really dangerous just to rely on, you know, this is what I've heard.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, we get that a lot. I think it's just common, you know, for people to say, hey, I get this with media buys as well. Oh, my friend saw your billboard. Like, it must have been a great campaign. And it's like, well, there's so many factors. Like, what if that was the only person who saw it, you know? It's just funny. I think assumptions are so easy to make. But you're right. You need to look at the full picture of all of the data and make sure you're putting those pieces together and really knowing, like, who is spending the most. Because that is important.
Yeah. Well, and when we work with new clients, we really go through this whole process to identify who these personas are, because if we don't, everything's going to go wrong. Mm-hmm. And I would definitely recommend that anyone who's embarking on this process for the first time in a long time with their destination really put some money into doing some real research, mm-hmm. engage with some of these companies that do surveys and help aggregate data for you. That's so important.
So important. Really the make or break in whether your marketing will be successful.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of if you have a killer creative campaign, if you're not hitting the right people, it's just going to fall flat.
And if you really want to work off assumptions, you can, but do some testing around it.
Yes.
Because that'll be safer than just going all in on an audience that mm-hmm. may or may not be actually valuable.
And there are some really cost-affordable ways we can test those audiences through digital tactics, right, Josh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So you're not really, if you don't have the money to do a huge research project or subscribe to some of these big research partners when it comes to destination marketing, there are other things you can do to inform yourself and see who's taking action on your ads. And we'll talk about those more a little bit later.
Okay. Let's do that.
Let's do that.
Okay. So when you are doing that research and trying to identify who your personas are, there's definitely like some key things to be looking for, things you need to discover about your potential personas. Potential. They are your personas. Stuff that immediately comes to my mind would be like demographics, stuff like how old they are, what their gender is, their income bracket, if you can get that information, and it's important to know, and then family status. Do they have kids? Do they not have kids? Are they empty nesters? That's all really important. What would you add, Sasha?
I would add just, where do those people live? Where are they? You know,
oh, that's
let's look
of
at
important.
Our markets.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
What media do they consume? What's kind of like their watering hole? There mm-hmm. we go back to water.
Yes.
The watering hole where they spend time and where their crowd hangs out on yep. the internet or even physically, if that's relevant.
Yep. We also have to look at what they're interested in. What are their interests? You know, can we interest target? What are their hobbies? What do they spend their time doing?
Sasha, I don't care what people are interested in.
But you will care when you're setting up their ad campaign.
Oh. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I care about what all of you are interested in.
I know you don't care about what I'm interested in.
No.
But you care about what you're target persona is interested in.
That's true.
Yeah.
Is interest-based targeting. And we were talking about this with Tim at Dynadmic, mm-hmm. understanding what people are looking at and reading about and all that. That was episode 3, if you want to go back and listen to
yes.
it, is so, so important. You can layer that onto just about any ad type you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like it. More detailed.
More detailed. Mm-hmm. I think one thing, Sasha, that gets overlooked when you're trying to identify your personas is, who are they not? Like, there are definitely anti-personas that probably should be identified, or like,
sure.
this person is never interested in this, or this type of person does not use this marketing channel. If we don't know that, we're...
Yep.
I keep saying set up to fail.
We're set up yeah. to fail.
Set up to fail.
Set up to fail. It is important, though.
I feel like we're complaining a lot in this episode.
I know. I felt that as well. And I'm sure our audience feels that as well.
We love this stuff.
Totally. Totally. Doesn't mean we don't have pet peeves. We're normal. We're people. Got a few pet peeves, you know? That's
yeah.
all.
Well, this is just really important.
Yeah, it totally is. We want your ads to be successful.
Sounded like an ad.
It did.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm in marketing.
Okay. So, is there anything else you'd like to add, Sasha, when it comes to, like, developing your personas? I know we've got a whole process internally at our agency that our research team and strategy team follows, but...
Yeah, I think the only thing that comes to mind as we were going through some of those questions and things you want to discover, when it comes to market, some of your traditional media markets are really large. And so, again, if you understand, let's say you understand the income bracket that your target persona is in, we want to find the areas within that geo that fall in that income bracket. So there are ways that we can be even more specific with geo and with market. That is really helpful when it comes to traditional media. So if we can even hone in on some zip codes and specific areas that may be more affluent or whatever it may be. Yeah, that's just something I was thinking about. We also want to do that for traditional media.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And I think you and I, when we're building media plans, we're always talking about that sort of stuff. And we make sure that we're yep. both kind of targeting the same areas mm-hmm. so that we're not hitting too different of a group.
Yeah, you bet. So if you're breaking into a new market, let's say you want to start doing traditional media in a market that you have not advertised in before, it's great to familiarize yourself with that market and to understand the areas and the nuances and... Yeah, just kind of the lay of the land when it comes to traditional media. You don't want to just up in place. Like, there are a lot of things to understand about, yeah, just behavior and, yeah, like I said, affluent areas and just how the market's laid out. Like, that does matter for traditional media.
For sure. Yeah. Okay, so now that we have our personas, we now need to map them to tactics.
Yes.
Because... Sasha, correct me if I'm wrong, but not everyone uses every single type of media.
Yeah, that's fair. I could probably argue it with some traditional, but...
What?
Yeah, that's fair.
How would you... No, let's do this.
Fair. It's pretty blanket. I mean, some traditional media tactics just hit... We're not hitting an age. We're hitting a location, right? Like outdoor,
sure.
right? Like, you're hitting your age and your interests with your creative messaging. If we want to get into creative messaging, that mm-hmm. layers on, I think, those with traditional media, creative messaging layers on some of the agent interest messaging because it'll speak to that group. But I
sure.
could argue that, like, where I place traditional media could hit everyone, I guess.
Okay.
So with my argument. Yeah, like, I could argue what I'm placing and where it's at and, like, how much of it could be hitting, like, the full market. But the messaging might not be resonating. So, yeah, that's the one thing we haven't really talked about, your messaging. I know we're talking more about media spend, but your messaging will tie to, it'll speak to your target persona, right? So if you're placing in some more general areas and you're getting brand awareness, and you're might be hitting some overlay with other mm-hmm. personas, but your messaging will resonate with your people.
Sure. That makes sense. And, you know, when we're running Facebook campaigns for some of our clients, we always do our best to make sure we're segmenting our ad sets and campaigns within Facebook by persona so that we're not overlapping and we can create messaging that speaks specifically to that persona and eliminate that kind of overlap.
You got it.
Yeah.
Well, and one other thing we could talk about while we're talking about persona mapping is the marketing funnel in general. So once you've identified your persona, you're mapping your media plans to it, it's important to consider top of the funnel and bottom of the funnel. So you want to bake out that whole plan as you map.
Right. Like you were talking about, outdoor is not a bottom of the funnel tactic.
No, no, no. We're going to get that person in the funnel and we're going to just push them all the way down through. With our marketing, of course.
That's not creepy at all.
It's not creepy at all.
Yeah. Okay. That's very true. Something else you have to consider is that to your point, there are some that have very broad reach. But most digital channels have kind of some groups that are more relevant than others for that specific channel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, you would not try to target 75-year-olds on TikTok right now.
Oh, no.
No, not yet. Maybe in a few months that audience might change.
Yeah.
Like Facebook, the audience totally has changed over the years. Like it was built for college kids. I remember joining when it first opened for high schoolers.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's all boomers.
Crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Where'd they come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
They just took over Facebook.
Yeah, totally.
And that's fine.
I'm never on Facebook anymore.
Me either.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you want to reach older millennials like ourselves, Facebook might not be the place.
Yeah. I mean, it might. I have a lot of friends that are still living by Facebook, anecdotal stuff.
Now, we have our personas. We've identified that you've got to think about your channels and where they fit with those personas. And we've talked about that part of the funnel that you have to consider. You got to map all that out. And then as you've done that, as you do that for each persona, you're essentially building your plan.
Yeah, totally. And I think, you know, as we're talking about this topic as well, when we're looking at mapping your traditional media buys to your target persona, I think it's important to look at just your digital findings. Like if you don't have access to a lot of hefty research that's done really well, then there are, you know, like we talked about earlier, there are ways you can test what's best, and you can A/B test across digital platforms. So you can test personas or messages or maybe even against two markets against each other, right? Like, so A/B test across digital and try to get informed about who is acting more frequently on those, who's taking action more frequently on those ads. And then use that data to target that market before you spend traditional data. Like use that data to target when you do traditional. So find that data before you place a lot of money across traditional tactics. If you don't know who to target or if it is really general, try to do some A/B testing online and then pull the findings from that data for your traditional media campaigns. Like that is a nice cost-effective way to look into who your persona is if you're not sure.
So you're saying digital can do something that traditional cannot?
Yes. Fine, yes.
Yes. That's right. No, I think that is true. And because for whatever reason, traditional is typically so much more expensive.
Totally.
It makes more sense to go with a more cost-effective option first.
You bet. And you don't want to spend those dollars incorrectly or, you know, like waste money on traditional. So, the more informed you can be, the better.
Can we edit that so it just says, don't waste money on traditional?
No. No, we can't. Editing's broken.
Julie, help me with that.
No, Julie, no. Don't waste money on traditional.
Okay, so let's put a little of this into action, Sasha. I think for the purposes of this experiment, what we're going to do is we're going to go through a few different scenarios with a persona and a destination, and then we kind of will game out how we would go about mapping those together.
Love it.
I think it will be fun.
Fight to the death. Too intense? Okay. Scale
yeah.
back.
Yeah. Well, I think to eliminate some of the fighting, mm-hmm. we won't set hard budgets.
That helps me, though.
I know. So you can have your dream campaigns.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in.
Yeah.
Cool. And maybe, like, one of us will go first and the other will go. Not, like, the buzzing one.
Fine.
Okay.
We can take turns.
Okay.
Okay. So our first one, I thought we could bring up our great fictional state of Texaho.
Yes.
And, you know, I realized that Texaho has this really cool attraction
okay.
called the Potato Coast.
Yes. This is, I love potatoes.
it's like shaped like the Gulf of Mexico, but
okay.
the beach is like
growing potatoes.
Growing potatoes.
Oh, I love it. It's my dream come true.
I know. And you can dig them up yourself.
I love that.
For a small fee.
Okay. Did you know that I have actually dug potatoes from a field to eat myself?
That doesn't surprise me.
Cool, huh? I'm from Idaho. It's a lot of farmers.
We know.
Yeah. Okay.
We know.
This is cool. You should try it. You want to come to Idaho sometime?
I'm good. I'll just buy my potatoes. Anywho, so you can go dig these potatoes yourself. It's a great activity for children. We were
nice.
Talking to the marketing directors of Texaho, and they said that they really want to attract more field trips
okay.
for schools and stuff to come to the coast.
I love it.
So,
for those who don't know, this is a fictional location.
I said that.
Did you?
Yeah,
okay.
Come
just
on.
Making sure. It's pretty far-fetched, but somebody might believe it.
The Potato Coast of Texaho. Google it. Okay. Sasha, how would you go about trying to attract teachers so that they could, you know, send their kids to the Potato Coast?
Yeah, I like it. Maybe even teachers and families. Okay, so if we're hitting teachers, I'm going to do some research, and I'm going to find out the general age bracket for teachers, you know, like majority teachers. How old are they? I don't know that. And so I'm going to inform myself first and foremost. I'm going to find out more about these teachers so that I can take that data and I can put it into my ad campaigns.
Whoa.
I think for, yeah, whoa. And then based off
whoa.
Their age, I would then recommend my tactics. But let's talk tactics. Let's do it. So my tactics are going to focus on the top of the funnel. We need awareness. Like, these people don't even know about the Potato Coast. Like, they don't even know it's there. They don't even know what they can do. You know what? This may be an unpopular choice, but since I'm targeting something so specific, I can pull a direct mail database on teachers.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I can hone into a couple different geos. And I'm actually going to send some, like, brochures to these teachers about the Potato Coast. I mean, teachers are scholarly. They're going to want to read. They're going to want to look. They're going to want to get details. They need to know pricing. They need to know a lot of stuff. And I said I was going to do general awareness with direct mail. It's kind of like, I don't know if it's, like, quite at the top of the funnel, but here we are.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's cool. I went to direct mail, so okay.
That's how this works, though. We have this all the time.
I know. I was originally thinking high-level brand awareness, but now I'm like, direct mail, kind of in the middle. Anyways, so I will send a few different pieces. Maybe the first couple will be more like awareness-based, and the next couple will be more granular, like the brochures, like the pamphlets. You know, get them interested in it, and have maybe even like a promo code. Like, hey, if you take your class on this date, they'll get to also experience the Butterfly Haven that's next door, you know, or the Butterfly Farm that's also, you know, like some kind of promotional thing.
I didn't know about the Butterfly Farm.
Yeah, I mean, it's there.
That's cool.
And yeah, so I'm starting to think of what kind of promo code, but we're not really going to give a discount. We want them to bring their kids and pay whatever they're paying. But
sure.
We're going to add on an activity, so we still have a special offer.
Oh, okay. All right.
So yeah, I don't know. I think direct mail could be super targeted and fun for this campaign and really visual and kind of lead them down that path of awareness on the first few mailers and then the stronger call to actions towards the end and like that special offer. Like, don't wait. Sign up now. For my next tactic, I want to think outside
There's
the
more.
Box. There's more. You're not going to do it in just one.
But I got digital to do, too.
Okay, I know, but hold on.
Okay.
I'm going to be quick. So for some general awareness, I'm going to get really creative, okay? And I'm going to wrap cars. There are partners who do this. I'm going to wrap some cars with Texaho's message about the Potato Coast, and I'm going to drive them around schools when teachers get there during lunch, and then when they leave. So as these teachers are arriving to the schools, they're going to see the messages about the potato coast, and they're going to want to Google it and look it up. And yeah, we're getting fun and nifty with granular targeting. So how's that?
That's interesting. That's interesting.
Stand by it. What about you? What are you going to do then on the lower side of the funnel here?
I think what I would do is I'd probably create some consideration level campaigns that are pretty information heavy, but still inspirational, to target people on within the age demographics that we discover, but then also like on Facebook and Instagram, people who have education interests and may or may not have identified their employment as in education. And then I would probably do a similar thing on LinkedIn if budget was no option. I think that would be kind of cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I like it. And then if we really wanted to get crazy, I think we could do some like YouTube oriented content. If you want to hit some of the parents, you can't target children's content on YouTube, but you could target the parents.
Cool.
With some of our digital tactics, like that we could do some really specific geo-targeting. You're not allowed to target schools because that's just creepy and not good.
Yeah.
So you might find some of the attractions, some other attractions that these kids and their families or the teachers might be going to. The local zoo or...
You got it.
The butterfly garden.
Nice. Yeah. And you can also kind of look at, like, what shows children are watching across streaming TV or regular TV and... What shows that, like, teachers and parents may be watching there as well. And you can kind of, we could also target, it would be cool. We could do some high school sponsorships to, like, place some ads within, like, high school sports. Ooh. And those types of things. That would be also really neat and targeted.
Yeah. Neat and targeted.
Yes. Neat and targeted. Cool. What's next?
So the next scenario was actually proposed by one of our coworkers, Coachella this year. The big music festival in Indio, California.
Yes.
Wants to attract boomers. Nice. To the next event. I think the Rolling Stones are going to headline. This is totally fake.
Taking it to the next level.
Yeah.
Rolling Stones, I like it. Just picturing a bunch of boomers partying now. It's great.
We're not making fun of you, boomers. The Rolling Stones are great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Eagles might play too.
Okay, yeah. Then my dad might be there.
Okay. So if I were going to lead off, I'd probably start with definitely Facebook. That is the place for that audience on the internet right now. And I'd probably blitz it. And I'd probably get a little, if we're going after this specific age demographic, I'd probably want to test some creative for different, different genders so that we've got the messaging for the women and the men with different creative types. And then obviously YouTube content around music videos and that sort of thing would be really important. I'm going to steal one of yours because I believe it should be mine anyway, but I think Spotify would be...
Boy, step down.
I think Spotify would be a really important tactic when it comes to, a music-based campaign.
Yeah, and then, because you can target via genre. We can target rock and roll. We can target, oldies, whatever whatever genre.
Yeah. I'd probably be doing more consideration and purchase-focused content on social and probably even on YouTube, too. But then on a more awareness side, I would programmatically buy some sponsored content on music-oriented websites and that sort of thing to get information in front of that audience. It's clearly, if they're reading about it, they're going to want to go to a show.
Yeah, I like it. I would do linear TV. So I'd look into like some cable or broadcast, probably local broadcast, honestly, for the boomer audience. That's a great channel still for that age group. Definitely still watching that TV, right?
Yeah.
And I would actually, instead of Spotify, I would choose Pandora just because Spotify does skew quite a bit younger when we're looking at the demo breakdown, like across the board.
Okay.
So I think actually Pandora might be a good fit for that older.
I mean, but it's Coachella. We got loads of money. Yeah. We can do both.
Okay. Let's do both. Sure.
But that's cool. Fair. You can spend more on Pandora.
Yeah.
On Spotify.
Yeah. I love it. I love where we're going. Maybe some outdoor. I don't know. Just depending on the areas.
I think email would be important too. Mm. You're probably going to generate a lot of interest through all your ads.
Cool.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, and then finally, we'll go into a little more of a real world example. Cape Cod, beautiful place on the East Coast. They're being extra smart and wanting to focus on generating the next wave of returning travelers. And those people right now are Gen Z. They're a really important audience to attract, and especially if you want to think long term. Mm-hmm. So, Sasha, how would you go about reaching these youngsters to get them to come play on the coast?
Well, like we talked about in our last episode, I'm going to get that OTT going. I'm going to hit the younger demo wherever they're at with the OTT. I think for these, I actually think Spotify would be a great fit for these guys. Like, they've got a really young demo on there. You can mm-hmm. actually target like 12 and up on Spotify. Not mm-hmm. crazy. So yeah, we can hit them on Spotify and kind of get some of their interest in there, like what you can do at Cape Cod. We'll interest target via Spotify, and we'll get kind of that certain age bracket that we're after, that we're looking for. You know, and I think for this age group too, we've talked about this again before, like however we can showcase stories, like on their OTT spot, if we can mm-hmm. kind of tell a story, be really authentic. Like, I know I'm getting into messaging now, but I think...
No, but I think that's important.
Yeah, we'll tie that into our marketing. So, like, maybe through OTT, we'll run, like, a series of 15-second, like, story-type TV spots that can kind of showcase, like, this audience performing these activities and, like, just tell that background story, kind of get them sucked in.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. I think I'd probably also do... I mean, yeah. How could I do that better? Other digital tactics that I would probably consider for this group right now, it would be, I think TikTok would be really important. Yeah. TikTok and Snapchat, probably.
Yeah.
I think TikTok's, like, the short story-based format would be huge as mm-hmm. far as just organic content. Yep. But then you could promote it, too, and mm-hmm. get a little targeted with your advertising. I'd probably avoid Facebook. I don't think they're there. Not worth it. Mm-mm. I'd probably spend a little bit on Instagram.
Yeah.
But I'd also, especially if this is going to be an ongoing campaign, you'd want to stay really on top of media consumption trends among that crowd.
Yep.
And YouTube is probably another really important channel.
Mm-hmm. And we could even look at some influencers that could promote the activities kind of in that Gen Z group from TikTok or whatever it is, right? That are showcasing, yep. like going there and showcasing what they're doing. I think that yeah. group would respond well to this.
Yeah. But to your earlier point, it has to be organic feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It cannot feel salesy or cheesy. Yeah. It's got to be
yeah.
inspirational and very authentic.
Yeah. What about also just generating content for this age group? So, like, if we're talking about Snapchat, we could do some tutorials, like how to hike such and such, or I don't know, we could tie into the attractions at Cape Cod, mm-hmm. maybe do some cool, like we could get creative with the content so that it does feel authentic and not necessarily like we're marketing, but we are.
And find someone younger than us to help put that content together.
Yeah, some cool creatives.
Yes. Yeah. Totally. Cool. Well, that was our little exercise for today.
I hope you guys found it somewhat helpful somewhere in there. We had fun, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll never forget about the Potato Coast.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Good job.
Okay. So without further ado, we're going to peace out. But before we do, if you want to find us and talk to us, where can they do that, Sasha?
LinkedIn, Instagram, and like we talked about today, TikTok.
That's right.
Yep. So come find us and probably just make fun of us.
Yeah. Just search Tourism Media Mayhem.
Yep.
We'll be there being goofy.
Yep. Being goofy. Just being our authentic selves.
And next time, you'll just have to wait and see what's next.
Wait and see.
It's a secret.
Talk to you guys later.